Today we're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. This is one of the great comforting passages in all of the Bible, a sure hope to us when we have failed the Lord, an encouragement to us to grow in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a passage that shows us that our first priority in life is to love Jesus. John 21, verses 15 through 19. And before we read the scripture, let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that love came down, your love, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your love was personalized in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you demonstrated your love for us in that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. That you knew the worst about us. You knew all of our sin. And yet you came to give us eternal life through your death on the cross, and that you love your own. And when we fail and fall, you retrieve us. Take this passage of scripture and use it to comfort us in your love, to deepen our love for you, that your love may flourish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus came to Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. An extraordinary story has been discovered in the annals of Mideastern ancient history. As the story goes, Cyrus, the great conqueror of the known world at the time, including Babylon, had a general under his authority whose wife was suspected of treason. She was tried before a great and austere tribunal, found guilty, and sentenced to death. After the sentence was pronounced, the woman's husband, a general, went before the great emperor Cyrus. He went before his throne and he requested, oh, King Cyrus, please let me take my wife's place. Cyrus, in awe of what was transpiring before him, said to his court, can we terminate such great human love? He then paroled the woman to her husband. As the couple left the court, the general said to his wife, did you see the look of kindness in Cyrus' eyes toward you when he pardoned you? And this is what his wife said, I only had eyes for the one who loved me enough to be willing to die for me. This remarkable story dimly reflects the burning emotion of Peter's heart as he sat across the fire from the Lord Jesus Christ after Jesus cooked breakfast for him and several others of the disciples. But as the supper as the breakfast ended, Peter looks across at the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus looks across at Peter. And Peter is drawn into intimacy of love with the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus asks Peter the repeated question, Peter, and Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? And the key to understanding about what is to transpire is an appreciation for the inner feelings that must have been going on inside Peter. While Peter made the great confession that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he also denied Christ three times, also in front of a fire, after Jesus was arrested. How the mighty had fallen! His threefold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ was lodged in Peter's soul. Sure, he had seen the risen Christ and heard the words of the Lord Jesus from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. But Peter could never forget the lapse of love. Had he disqualified himself from ever serving the Lord Jesus Christ again from fruitful service? Was he disqualified from receiving the forgiveness of his sins again? Would his heart ever know the peace of God again? Peter was not all better. He still had failed his Lord, and that guilt is lodged in his life. He doubted his own faithfulness to God. He doubted his own ability to walk with Christ. He even doubted his ability to be a fruitful servant of Christ. He wondered, will I ever be used again? He needed a touch from Christ. He needed a recall from Christ. He needed the confirmation that he was forgiven by Christ. You know, in these days of fear over the dangers of this virus, mob violence, racial injustice, unrest, the loss of employment, the daily battles against the evil one, concerns for our spouses and our children and our parents, the uncertainties of the future, we need a touch from Christ. God has used this passage to touch many sons and daughters of his. Personally, I have found it to be one of the most strengthening passages in all the scripture because it takes me back to the ground of my faith. It takes me back to assessing where I am in my love for the Lord, and it instructs me on how to set my life straight. How can you have eyes of love for the one who died for you? 2 points. Humble yourself before Christ by resting in his love and renew your first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself by resting in Christ's love for you and renew your first love for Christ. So in the passage before us, we see breakfast is finished and Jesus speaks. And how Peter's heart must have been racing or skipping a beat when he hears Christ's words. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than these. Because there are several other disciples around. The Lord was asking Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Are you devoted to me in your affections, with your mind, with your heart, in your attitudes, in your words? Are you devoted in love to me before every other God that would compete for first place in your life? After all that has happened, Peter, do you really love me? Now, John doesn't say what ran through Peter's mind as he heard Christ's question three times. But from our own experience, we can imagine. His heart probably raced. His stomach probably churned. His cheeks probably burned. And his eyes perhaps misted. This was a moment of severe mercy from Christ to bring Peter to the end of his confidence in himself, so that Peter would trust in the power of Christ's love to quicken in Peter love for Christ. Why did Jesus address him as Simon, son of John? Did you notice that in the passage? Verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you really love me? The reason Jesus addressed Peter that way is because Jesus is impressing on Peter that that birth name given to him was different than the name Jesus gave to him. The birth name Simon means a pebble that can be easily thrown away and cast, that isn't strong at all. The name that Jesus gave him was Peter, a different form of the name, which means a rock. So Jesus is impressing on Peter that, Peter, you are personally weak in your own strength. You made a boast that your love was greater than the other disciples, but you trusted in your own self-ability and self-confidence. And I planned it all, even your fall. I permitted it so that you would learn that your only confidence, your only resting place, your only strength can be firmly resting in my love that I work into your life, enabling you to be faithful and fruitful in service for me. That's why Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Here, Peter couldn't help but get a flashback to the upper room in John chapter 13, 36 through 38, what do we read? We read that Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. And Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to follow you wherever you go. And even if all of these forsake you, I will never forsake you. But he had denied Christ. He had forsaken Christ. He had said, yes, even if all fall away, I will never. But Peter did. And the words of Christ, do you love me more than these, brought him back to that place. Furthermore, the fire on the beach would have reminded Peter of how he denied Jesus Christ three times after Jesus was arrested before a fire. Peter must have been a torrent of emotion at this point. The painful aroma of the fire, the blinking, innocent eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? The power of Christ's words were a severe mercy to Peter. Yes, they were painful, but they were painful in order to bring healing to Peter. This is Peter, Simon Peter, stripped of everything, being asked, "Do you love me?" Will he brag of his self-confidence? Will he boast that he's greater and stronger than the other disciples? Jesus is asking Peter if he is still struggling for control. Peter, the man of action, knows how to live only if he is in control. And Christ asks him the question, "Do you love me?" Because it shows Peter the one area where Peter has no control. Peter cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ without Jesus quickening his love in Peter. Yes, Peter can drag heavy nets. Peter is a great fisherman. Peter is enthusiastic. But Peter cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus Christ has first loved him. By the powerful, gracious work of the Holy Spirit, he and we enter into the love of Christ displayed for us when Jesus was willing and did die to accomplish our salvation. Peter cannot love the risen Christ until the risen Christ has loved him. And this question, "Do you love me?" breaks through all of Peter's pretensions. All of his me first and selfishness. And it's intended to bring Peter to the end of his own ability so that he'll trust in Christ's ability. And that's what Jesus is driving at. Jesus is saying, "Peter, I know what you can do and what you can't do. I want your fish. I want you to follow. But Peter, you will inevitably fail me because you are a son of Adam. Every son of Adam who has ever lived has failed me." Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart. Failure, fear, uncertainty, tentativeness, selfishness. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." What a display of Christ's inexplicable love. Peter had a threefold denial of Christ. There's a threefold questioning of Christ. And then Christ three times graciously recommissions Peter to be an apostle. Peter gets his ministry back. But note the order. The restoration of Peter's heart must precede the restoration of his fruitful service. Jesus is saying, "Peter, you can't make the past right by your own efforts. Peter, you can't fix your denials. Don't you see that you can only accept my love and respond to me from a heart that is seared with failure, but healed by my love and my forgiveness?" Lord, look what I can do for you. And Jesus would say, "Mary, John, Frank, do you love me? Are you resting in the joy of the salvation I've accomplished for you? Are you resting in the truth that only I quicken love in you so that then you're enabled to love me and experience my saving grace?" See, Jesus Christ is pressing the hot surgical iron to our hearts. He's bringing us to the place where either through our national failures and national injustices and sins and our personal sins, where we come to the place and see that we are incapable of loving Jesus Christ in our own strength. We're incapable of serving Jesus Christ in our own confidence. And we must come to the place where we see that Jesus is saying to us, you're really not ready to do anything for me unless you're drinking deeply and resting deeply in the wells of my loving grace for you. The restoration of your heart comes before the restoration of your service. Think about this. C.S. Lewis said that God whispers to us in our prosperity, shouts to us in our pain. Suffering is certainly Christ's megaphone to a deaf world. In his severe mercy, what is God doing in our personal lives, in the life of our nation? He's seeking to free us from our consumption with self, our elevated importance, our trust in the God of economic power, our trust in the God of medical prowess. What is the Lord doing, seeking to do through the coronavirus, through racial unrest, through mob violence, through our personal failures, through our family failures? What the Lord is seeking to do is to give us a recall, to turn away from our wicked ways, our sinful ways, to receive his forgiveness, to bathe in his grace, to trust in his love. Can you think of what it would be like if millions and millions of people were to turn from their sin, recognize that their only hope is Jesus Christ, and live in the delight of his grace, and bathe in his love, and then spread that love out in this nation, in this community, in this world? God is giving us all a recall. The second point is renew your first love for Christ. Like Peter, we have to stop trying to run our lives in our own strength, our own boastfulness, and we must let the Lord heal our broken hearts with the same power that he used to raise the dead. Isn't that wonderful? God can heal any broken heart, because the one who was raised from the dead can put that amazing resurrection power in your heart to give you new life in himself. Peter's restoration was accomplished, and they all saw it. They all saw it. They saw, perhaps saw his denials. Now they saw his restoration. And now the disciples understood Jesus had planned it all in his severe mercy, both the fall and the restoration, in order to equip and strengthen Peter in humility to be greatly used by God. And he does the same in our life. There are no lost causes in the kingdom of God. There are no lost cases to those who know Jesus. I love this quote that I've remembered many times as an encouragement, and I've shared with many before. It is the pattern of our lawyer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to only take the cases of the admittedly guilty who trust him, and he's never lost a case. Isn't that wonderful? Christ is saying to each of us, through Peter's example, the greatest priority in our lives is to love Jesus. Here we see a man who loved God with all his heart, Peter, but who needed to be affirmed in that love. And that's why Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know my heart. The disciples may not know my heart. They may think I'm a false disciple, But you know the work of grace you've got done in me and how you've restored me. He needed to be affirmed that he could serve Christ fruitfully, and Christ gave that affirmation, feed my lambs. Some of us may have a deep love for Jesus, others of us may not, but the abiding principle is that before all things, even our service for Christ, we must first be in love with Jesus Christ. This is the number one question for everyone who wants to please Jesus and make a difference in this world for him. Is Jesus your first love? Now, Christians are called to serve God, but it's all too easy in the everyday grind of following Christ to put all of our priority on serving Christ, but not out of love for him. It's a trap we can all fall into. One reason is techniques and methods can become our primary focus. To carry out these methods and techniques, what do we need to have? We need to have power. And it becomes very tempting because we want results, we want production, to focus on the power and to forget the source of the power, Jesus Christ. And as a result, not cultivating our first love for him. To concentrate on service and activity for God can often actually block the attainment of God's chief goal for us, which is God himself, that we would cultivate a deep, growing love for the Lord. Do you know why this is so easy to happen? It can be so easy to fall into this deadly trap because we want to make a difference in this world for Christ. We want to please Christ. And it seems so exciting to give ourselves in service to God and others. But cultivating a walk for the Lord, we might think, well, that seems so selfish to concentrate on that when I could be unselfishly out and about serving others. But when Peter asked the question, when Jesus asked the question to Peter, do you love me? Jesus is showing us that the reverse is true. Because we can be about serving besides others, and yet the selfishness in our hearts, the resentments in our hearts, the self-pity in our hearts, the criticism in our hearts remains untouched. The resentments, the self-pity, the unbelief, the criticism, the jealousy in our hearts, the coldness in our hearts towards him, and our prideful, self-sufficient natures. We can find that as we're serving, those are lodged in our hearts towards others. And we can think we are serving God, and yet how little we are really serving God then is shown by the amount of anger, criticism towards others, and even coldness of heart. Jesus wants our service but he wants us to be growing in love for him, and out of that love to serve him. This is true in all of the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, which is called in Hebrew the Shema that the Israelites sang. They would repeat, "The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Jesus reinforced the importance of sitting at his feet and loving him as the powerhouse for serving. When Martha urged Jesus, "Send Mary, who's sitting at your feet, wasting her time, into the kitchen." And Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried about so many things. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. A close relationship of love with me. And Mary has chosen the better." Mary has chosen the better. It is Christ's recall to his followers that needs to be applied to our hearts. The national crisis we are facing with racial injustice, the coronavirus, and the toll it's taken, the personal difficulties and trials in our life are God's opportunity. He is calling us to turn away from our sinfulness. He is calling us to turn away from our prejudice. He's calling us to turn away from our religiosity. He's calling us to turn away from the idols in our hearts and love and lives, and to reaffirm our first love for him. He's calling us to bathe in his love. Notice what Jesus says, Peter says to Jesus, "You know all things." We need to reflect honestly upon our lives in the light of Jesus' words, "Lord, you know all things." In other words, Peter says, "Lord," he uses a very personal word in verse 17. He's saying, "Lord, you know, you've walked with me. You know me perfectly. You know how much love is in my heart for you." How can we make our love for Christ our first priority? How can we grow in it? First, Christ knows the worst about you and loves you anyway. If God did not know all things, we might fear that someday something evil would spring up from us that would startle God and turn his affection away from us. He would say, "Hey, I didn't know that was there. That changes everything. I don't want anything to do with you anymore." But God knows the worst about us and nevertheless was willing to die for us. God's affection will never be turned away from his people. Second, God knows the best about you even when others don't. The disciples might have thought Peter's defection means what other sins are lurking in his life. Maybe he isn't even really a follower of Christ. But Peter said, "Lord, you know, you've looked beneath my denials, and I'm conscious of my sin, but I'm conscious of your love for me. You know I have a new heart in you. You know I've been restored to you, even if others don't know that." Third, be honest about the level of your love for Jesus. Because as you are, he'll affirm the love he's put there in your heart. Don't say, "I can do it. I know my heart." Say, "Lord, you know what is there. You know what love you've put in my heart. For you, take it and make it redound to your glory." Spend time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will love him. And finally, remember that every opportunity to serve is an opportunity to do it in love for Jesus. Whether it's scrubbing a floor, whether it's drawing close to your children or your spouse, whether it is bringing food to someone, do it as if it is an act of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" you will be so conscious of his love, you'll say, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who restores us to intimacy with yourself. We pray that through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, you will grow us in love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.